Don't you love this time of year? It's a blessing that when we do that, the march to the manger, being up here and seeing everybody coming forward, I just love that. Just love that. It's like we're all just a response to Christ and what He's done for us. So welcome to our church this morning. I hope you feel Christ in this place. I hope you feel the love of His people. And if you are visiting with us, I especially welcome you. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to grab one of those and fill it out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to do that and let us know that you were here. You can put your information, you can put your email address down there and check the box that you'd like to be added to our email list. And we'd love to get you on our list so that you can know the things that are going on. As Billy said, we've got a Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve. It's funny how, like he said, that comes around every year. Just a reminder, keep the registration pads moving as well. And I want to tell you, as representative of the staff, you know, it's staff appreciation is what the love offering that you guys give to us and is very much appreciated. But I want you to know that we appreciate y'all. I mean, we not only appreciate y'all, but really love you very much. Just you guys are a great church. You're a great church. And we're blessed to do ministry along your side. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, this is part of our, you know, part of the traditional Advent passages, scripture. You've got to wait till the end of the service, but I found out some really cool, neat things about this passage that I'll share at the end of my sermon. You've got to wait for it, and it's really neat stuff. So we're going to pick it up in verse 8, Luke 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Now, just I'm going to stop there just a second. From time to time, you know, some people have the theology of the elect. Only certain people are, you know, receive the gospel. There are only certain people are elected by God to receive the gospel. I would say this kind of refutes that. It's for all people. This is good news of great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, I know you're here. We have invited you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, speak to us in power and authority, surprise us and transform us, change us, in Jesus' name, amen. So, continuing my Advent sermon series, The Promised King, The Promised King. Today's message is our response to good news. our response to good news. So I want to unpack this scripture a little bit before I get to the dessert that I told you about that I've learned this week. Our response, you know, the shepherds were given what the angel said was good news of great joy. They were given this news and they did something. They responded. So I want us to unpack that a little bit and see how they responded, because I feel like that is indicative of how we should respond to this good news. Our response to the good news is to seek out the Savior. Seek out the Savior. It's interesting as we look at this scripture, the first obstacle, there's obstacles along the way as we seek the Savior. The first obstacle that they had to overcome was fear. They were terrified. They were these angels appeared, and they had this news for them, and it says that they were terrified. So they had to overcome this fear, and it says the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. A Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord." So there's this this seeking. Now let's skip down to verse 15 of the passage that we just looked at. When the angels had left them, so they've invited them with this news. When the angels had left them and gone to the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see." So this news is proclaimed to them. Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And their response when they overcame their fear was, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see." And then they hurried off and found everything just as it was told to them. It's interesting. I love this. The Lord just kind of conveyed it to my heart as I'm speaking. When he comes into the world, it says that they found, the shepherds found Jesus just as it was told to them, just as it was said. If you skip all the way forward to the resurrection, when the angel told the disciples and the women that Jesus has risen, just as he said. I don't know about y'all, but I love it when God reveals something that's not on the page. The shepherds would find him just as it was told to them. He's risen, just as he said he would be risen. Love that. So our response to good news is to seek what has been shared with us. I love it when people come to me with hard questions. I really do. Sometimes people are, "Well, I'm really struggling with my faith. I'm not sure. I don't want to offend you and ask all these questions." I'm like, man, bring it on. I love that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff. If you're asking questions, if you're seeking, I promise you, you will find him. Seek him. You will find him. That's what the shepherds did. They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem," and they hurried off. Secondly, our response to the good news is to not only seek him, but once we find him, to spread the word. Spread the word. When they had seen him, this is just they've gone, they've sought him out, they found him. When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. Y'all probably get tired of hearing it from me, but as I said last week, I end my sermon, I'm into the service every week with, "Go tell someone." That's not just a catchphrase. It's really, and it's not, I'm not suggesting that we all have this call on our lives to go up and down the street knocking on doors and, "Hey, do you know Jesus? Hey, do you know Jesus?" No, it doesn't. Some people, maybe that's their giftedness, but perhaps it's just walking a Christian walk of integrity so that people come to you. I promise you, people will come to you when you are walking out your faith. People will, when they're struggling, this is just the way it was. Before I was a pastor, I was in the computer world, and when God turned my life around, I was just trying to walk out my faith, you know, and work on computers. I mean, that's what I did. And I would have people coming to me, you know, with marital problems and asking me for prayer, and quite frankly, they stop asking me to happy hour after I said I'm not going a few times. They just said, "Okay, I don't think Hatcher's going." But, I mean, they, to spread the word. It's like, I wasn't going around preaching. I wasn't a pastor. I was just trying to just be faithful in my walk. So where has God placed you? Where has he placed you to be Jesus? They saw him, they sought him out, they saw him, and they spread the word. Thirdly, our response to the good news is to praise God for sending our Savior. So it's interesting, the flow of this passage, the angel comes, he proclaims the good news to the shepherds, they seek out to see if the angel knew what he was talking about, they seek out this Savior, they find him, they spread the word, and then they praise God for him. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. A Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord." And on down in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." The shepherds returned after finding him. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, which were just as they had been told. So, you know, maybe it's just me, but, man, it just seems like I've just almost had to stop watching the news because, I mean, it's just this world, man. It's like something bad going on all the time, all over the place. And just, man, we need Jesus. Does anybody else need Jesus besides me? That song we just sang, "Give Me Jesus." You know, you can have everything else. I mean, we find ourselves in this pursuit of stuff, don't we? We find ourselves in pursuit of bigger cars and bigger houses and higher paying jobs and more popularity and all these things that we're in pursuit of. And I'm telling you, they're all sinking sand except Jesus. They just are. They're all sinking sand. All right, you ready for the dessert? Is anybody awake? All right, raise your hand if you're awake. Do this. Okay, all right, I think a couple of you are awake. My beautiful wife kind of set me on to this week, and I did a little studying on this. This was a brand new revelation for me. Many theologians believe this. When we look at this story of the shepherds, this is going to take just a second to kind of set up there. And I may be pronouncing this wrong. Some of you smarter people than me may be aware of this. But there is a tower right on the outskirts of Bethlehem, and it's called Migdal Eder. Is that how you pronounce that? Anybody know? It's a tower. And it's been there since the Old Testament days of when, that's a whole nother sermon, but Jacob and Rachel, when she died, she died in Bethlehem, and they buried her there, and this tower is constructed there right outside of the Bethlehem. And the tower is called Migdal Eder, and it is the watchtower of the flock. It's a very tall tower, and shepherds, what they call priestly shepherds, actually go up in this tower to watch over their flocks. Okay, everybody shake your head if you're staying with me so far. All right, well, back in biblical times, they had the Passover. Now, this is really, I'd never thought of this, but the Passover, y'all know the Passover, where the lamb is the pure male lamb is taken and is sacrificed, and in every Jewish family had to have a lamb. And if the estimates of scholars are correct, there was approximately 250,000 Jewish households in that region at the time. So do the math. Approximately 250,000 lambs were sacrificed at Passover every year. That's a lot of lambs. And these weren't just normal lambs. These were the purest of the flock. They were the male lambs with no blemish. And they had to be very careful. They couldn't have any broken bones, any scuffs in their fur or anything like that. And so they had these priestly shepherds that went into this watchtower that watched over these flocks And when certain, is anybody glazing over yet? Stay with me. It gets good. So they're in this Migdal Eder watchtower, and they're watching over these flocks because they've got this better perspective, and they would take the choice lambs the mothers, as they were getting ready to have these lambs that they thought, hey, this is a candidate, they would bring them into the lower level of this watchtower, and when they would have the lamb, if it met up to the specifications, they would carefully wrap up this lamb in cloths and lay them in this hay-filled manger to protect them for the Passover. Somebody say, ooh. And I was skeptical when I heard about it. I was like, sometimes people just kind of, something sounds cool and they just start making. I read and I studied this weekend, and it's like, this is the real deal. These priestly shepherds would watch day and night for these lambs that were being born, and they would bring them into this watchtower, and they would carefully wrap them up to protect them so they wouldn't get scuffed up and broken bones, and lay them in a hay-filled manger. You remember what Jesus was referred to? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And these shepherds, perhaps these shepherds were priestly shepherds. They were in Bethlehem where this watchtower is. And it says they were watching over their flocks at night. And these priestly shepherds, it's 24 hours a day, they were to watch these sheep looking for the candidates for the sacrifice. And listen, this is where it really got me. If you look, and I've listed them there in your handout, Micah, two Old Testament prophecies in Micah, written hundreds of years before Christ was born. First one is Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Well, we know that John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Word meaning Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, and he was born in Bethlehem, and it was prophesied hundreds of years before Christ. Origins from old, meaning Jesus has always been. He's beginning, in, and always. Micah 4 says this. As for you, O watchtower of the flock. Hello. Somebody say hello. As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion. And that's referring, daughter of Zion, referring back to Rachel's grave where the watchtower was built. As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Speaking very specifically of this watchtower of the flock. Isn't that amazing? Don't you just love it when, man, you just learn this new stuff and you're just like, holy cow, man, God is big. He's big. And we can study, and we should study our whole lives, and we still don't come anywhere close to the end of God. But man, he just wants to love us. The angel said, you've been given great news of great joy. A Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. The Lamb of God has been who takes away the sins of the world. I want you to watch this video that's also ran across this weekend. Just kind of watch this. It talks about this whole thing that we're talking about.
Oh, the call of a shepherd in a field nearby, to tend and to carry his flocks by night. They were not ordinary sheep, they were set apart, born to be passed over lands. And when a spotless male was born, he was held on the manger floor, swaddled up just to keep him calm until his time. And the shepherds sang, the call of a mother in a town nearby, to tend and to carry on this holy night. Not an ordinary child, but the Son of God, breathed by the Holy Spirit. And when the baby King was born, he was held on the manger floor. As she swaddled him up, she knew his time would come. As she sang, wrap this one up, he is the one that we adore. Wrap this one up, he'll a Savior on a hill nearby. All alone he would carry the weight of all mankind, becoming the curse for us. He gave his life, for he knew that his time had come. This one up, he is the Lamb without blemish. Wrap this one up, he paid the price, and it is finished. But death would have no sting.
as that song was playing, and what was going through my mind was these shepherds. I see the shepherds totally different than I have in the past. In the past, I thought these just random shepherds out in the field, you know, that the angel appeared to, and they went and saw something amazing. But I can just imagine how many times they had gone into that watchtower of the flock, this kind of this birthing room for these lambs, how many times they had gone in there and seen these Passover lambs wrapped up and placed in the hay, and they walk in this time, and there's Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you just, can you imagine that moment? Just bow your head with me. Father, thank you for this precious gift. Thank you for being big, for being so amazing, more than our minds can comprehend. Your love for us is greater than we can comprehend. You have indeed given us good news of great joy. His name is Jesus. Pray, God, that everyone right now, everyone in the sound of my voice, would know when you said, when the angel said that the news is great, this good news for great joy is for all people, they were talking about us, you. It's good news. A Savior has been born to you, and He is Christ the Lord. It changes everything, Father. It changes everything. No matter what we're going through, health or finances or loneliness or grief, we have good news of great joy. Penetrate our hearts with that. Forgive us for getting caught up in the season of busyness. Allow us to slow down and take it in. Take in this good news. We love you. Thank you for being our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.